Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hour number two already? Whoa, what happened to hour number one? It went so fast. It must have been an amazing hour of radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you had a great weekend. I certainly enjoyed mine. A lot of preparations for Cuba now. In fact, it feels like more preparations for Cuba than pretty much anything else. I went to grill because I bought some fresh salmon and fresh steaks on Saturday morning. I always do my grocery shopping early Saturday morning. So I went and I bought some steak and some salmon and some fresh squash because I like to chop it up and put it in a big tin foil with olive oil and salt and pepper and then grill it. It's so good. And then come Sunday afternoon, I realized I don't have any charcoal. It was too late for me to go get some. So boo, that sucked. But I'll have to get some so that I can grill this week. Problem will be soon corrected. I hope that you did not have that kind of a problem. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, on SiriusXM 206, and on the radio.com app. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. This hour, we'll get an update on the Thai cave rescue, which is going on even now as we speak. They're attempting to get more members of that boys' soccer team and their coach out of the caves, which is amazing. And the whole world is watching this now after a couple of weeks of these boys being stranded and away from their families. We'll also hear from DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo about changing teams as free agency officially gets underway this week in the NBA. Plus, we've got more of your comments about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and why don't we spend some time in Houston right now? We welcome Fred Davis, who is a recently new member of the Midday Show from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time, called In the Loop. And he and his partner talk about pretty much everything there is in Houston, which right now is a lot. So, Fred, thanks for joining us. Why don't we start with the first half of the Astros season, because they are the defending World Series champs, and we've seen no sign of that hangover. It's really been incredible to watch what they've done. On top of the AL West, now over 60 wins, and they have that lead on the Mariners, with the Red Sox competing for best record in Major League Baseball. So I would say even better than what people expected to start out this first half. What have you liked most about what you've seen?
The pitching. I mean, no question. It's been the pitching. And I'll tell you what, it's been the pitching and to what you just said, the fact that, you know, if you look at the last, and we had Jeff Luna on a couple of weeks ago, one of the things I asked him was, you know, when you look at the Cubs last year and, you know, you've had World Series teams. I mean, you know, no team has gone back-to-back in the World Series, I think, since, what, the early 2000s when the Yankees did it. And he said, you know, the one thing he wanted to make sure that he got the players to understand was that 2018 was not going to be a victory lap for the 2017 season. So what impressed me the most is the fact that this team, being as young as they are, has bounced back and literally has not missed a beat from the 2017 season. And they're literally, I mean, if you look at their record, I think it's right on par record-wise to where they were at a year ago. But bringing it all back, pitching has been phenomenal. I mean, Justin Verlander at, what, 35, 36 years old, is pitching as well as he's ever pitched. You know, you fleeced the Pirates and got Gerrit Cole. And outside of, you know, a few rough-up starts there in the last few weeks, you know, I think he allowed earned runs in three or four consecutive games. But for the most part, I mean, he's 10 strikeouts away from the breaking the Astros record for most strikeouts before the All-Star break. Charlie Morton's pitching out of his mind right now. He's pitching the best he's ever pitched in his 11-year career. And this is all with Dallas Keuchel, who's in a contract year. Now, granted, he pitched well today, but Dallas Keuchel hasn't had his best stuff yet this year. So to consider where this team's at as far as what the front of this pitching staff has done has been truly incredible so far.
And both Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander making the All-Star team.
Yes.
Verlander will be inactive, plus Alex Bregman. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Jose Altuve. I guess I should say automatic. Does this guy ever miss a beat?
No, man. Jose, that guy is the epitome of just what you want in your professional athlete. I mean, you know, the guy was, he's five. I mean, we all know about how small he is, but, the guy just comes to play every night, and he's been extremely clutch. I mean, that's what he does. He hasn't missed a beat with what he's done. I mean, he's leading the league again in hits and batting average, and he's so durable, and it's something that you have to account for each and every day. And the guy got a fat contract, well deserved. Before the season started. And, the thing is, he's only, 29, 30 years old. It's a five-year, $150 million deal. So, it's going to be done by the time he's 34 years old. So, it's one of those deals where it's not like it's an Albert Pujols deal where, you're going to be sitting there at the end, or like a Cabrera deal where at the end you're going to be like, good God, is this thing ever going to end? Where he's making like $50 million at 38. But no, he's going to be, this contract will end when he's 34 years old. And, for all intents and purposes, he still should be playing good baseball, throughout the length of this contract.
How much do you think it helps that there hasn't been a ton of turnover? You mentioned Gerrit Cole. Of course, Tony Kemp has been part of the outfield. But how much do you think it matters that there really hasn't been a lot of changes from the team that celebrated that World Series title in early November?
That's been huge. That's been tremendous for them. I mean, the fact that they haven't been hurt. Now Correa's on the DL right now, and I think he's going to come on. I think they'll hold him out to the All-Star break. I think he's going to come back and, got some oblique tightness, whatever it is, some lower back stuff. But, and he was having a pretty decent year going in, before getting put on the DL. But like you said, other than, Jake Marisnik getting optioned down to AAA, you brought in Kyle Tucker, which everybody's just going gaga about, and rightfully so, when you bring in the top prospect for, arguably the best team in the American League. So, this team has been resilient. It's been healthy. And, outside of the addition of, I think Joe Smith and, like I said, Tony Kemp coming on board. I mean, this team and of course, Evan Gattis is swinging the bat out of his mind as well. They're playing good baseball. And like you said, the guys are staying healthy. There was no major turnover. And, to keep this thing rolling, I mean, listen, what do we know about sports is that the longer you if you've got your core intact, I mean, let's look at the Golden State Warriors and look at the Patriots. As long as you've got those main three or four or five pieces, and then you just, fill in the fringe, as long as the main pieces are still intact, good things are going to happen. And so far, that's been the case with the Houston Astros.
Fred Davis of our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610, joining us here after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Has the novelty worn off yet from that World Series title, or are fans just as giddy over the team finally achieving that after so much futility?
No, people are excited. People are very excited. And like you said, because it had never been done before. And, here's the thing about Houston, right? So, I'm a transplant to Houston, much like a lot of part of the city is. And, my thing has always been Houston's been one of the more cursed sports towns. I mean, we all know about Cleveland. Of course, they kind of broke that a couple of years ago with LeBron. But Houston's in that same vein. I mean, it has been a cursed city. I mean, it's never won a Super Bowl. Hell, I've never been to a Super Bowl. Outside of the two back-to-back titles, and I rib people all the time because, you won them, but, you won them the 2 years that Michael wasn't playing, when he finally came back in 94, 95, 96. But, to finally break through with the Astros was tremendous. And, of course, the bizarre thing about that, right, was the Astros win that World Series, and then the very next day, Deshaun Watson blows out his ACL.
Right,
practice.
Right.
And it was you want to talk about a weird mood in a town to where, you should be. I mean, and don't get me wrong, everybody was giddy and everybody was on cloud nine, and rightfully so. But there was still like a weird pall over the city for about a half a day, considering that, because trust me, in a month, everybody's going to be out of their mind once football season starts. But, the deal is this, right? Stay healthy. And what's made this season interesting so far, aside from the fact they've played tremendous baseball, is, you kind of got disrespected before the season started because everybody was all, gaga Yankees. And we see that the Yankees have been, as advertised. Red Sox aren't going anywhere. And what's made it interesting in the AL West is the fact that the Mariners will not go away. And that's that's really made this an interesting, you know, because you figured they were up by double digits for pretty much the entire season last year. So it was kind of just a, you know, we were just kind of watching and waiting to see what was going to happen in the playoffs. Well, now, you know, you've got to go out and win. And you know, are the Seattle Mariners going to fall off? We kind of thought they were going a couple weeks ago. You know, they're up 5.5 games. But then, you know, they kind of, Tampa Bay kind of took it to the Astros, and the Mariners keep winning, and so their schedule's kind of eased up a little bit. So this thing's gonna be interesting to see how this thing all plays out with the Mariners. They're a legit AL wild card threat, no question about it. I mean, you gotta think at the end of the day, the Astros are gonna pull away from the Mariners just because of just sheer talent is gonna win the day. But you'd like to see them pull away just a little bit, so that way you can give Justin Verlander some days off. You can give Gerrit Cole some days off. You can give Charlie Morton some days off. Because, again, you know, this guy's racking. I mean, these guys are – I mean, I want to say between the three of them, between Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and Keuchel, they're three of the top 10 innings pitched in the American League right now. So, you know, and you feel good about this right now. You know, it's okay. It's all well and good in the middle of July. But, you know, will that rear its ugly head come, you know, late September, early October when the games, you know, are really important?
Well, I'm glad you brought up football because I was going to pivot to the football. Who do you think will have a greater impact once back on the field healthy? You mentioned Deshaun, but J.J. Watt coming back as well.
Here's the thing about J.J. Watt. God bless J.J. Watt. I love J.J. Watt as a human being. He's a tremendous human being. But here's the reality of it. The guy's played 8 games in 2 seasons. All right? You don't know what to – we're all excited about him coming back, but the reality is that I don't know what you're going to get out of J.J. Watt. And the reality is that even when he was playing out of his mind a few years ago, they were still winning 3, 4, 5 games. All right? So at this point in his career, I mean, I've said this before, and this is kind of the way I feel about J.J. Watt. If J.J. Watt doesn't get – if he can't stay healthy this year, all right, this would be the third season in a row where, again, his season ends by injury. And at that point, he becomes the defensive version of Terrell Davis. Right? 5, 6 incredible seasons, Hall of Fame type numbers, and then just falls off a cliff. All right? I hope that doesn't happen, but that's just the reality of it. So that's going to be the big question is, what do you get to me? The question isn't what kind of impact are you going to have. The question is, but is he going to play? Because we're hearing all the right things. Oh, he's working his ass off. He's doing this. He's sending out Instagram videos. He's in shape, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've heard that 2 years in a row. Okay. I mean, listen, J.J. Watt can look at weights and get big. I mean, he's just one of those guys, right? But the reality is that until he gets out on the field and we see what he's going to do. Now, the one thing that you feel good about, okay, a couple years, he had a back injury, had a groin, all right? Those things are connected. So, you know, and he came back too early 2 years ago. And then, of course, he had the back last year, or 2 years ago, or the groin 2 years ago. Last year, it was a knee, right? So the thing, the feeling that we've heard from John McClain and from all the folks over in NRG is that he had the knee. It was a freak deal. That's all he's had to work on this year, or get rehab, get right. So that being said, he's supposed to be all in, and he's better than he's ever felt. Well, guess what? We've heard that 3 years in a row. My thing is this. J.J. Watt aside, I want to see what Jadeveon Clowney's going to do. Because Jadeveon Clowney doesn't have an is going into his 5th year on that same contract. And for a guy that, you know, wants to be paid the same way as a Khalil Mack and as a Aaron Donald, well, here's the problem. Those guys are double-digit stat guys, and those guys have all been defensive players of the year. Jadeveon Clowney has finally come off 2 healthy seasons, but still hasn't registered double-digit sacks. All right? Now, I get it. Everybody wants to say, well, hell, he gets you TFLs, and he's good at stopping the run. Okay, that's all well and good, but, you know, you don't get pick number 1 overall to stop the run. You get pick number 1 overall because you can get the quarterback. And so that's, to me, the biggest question for this team in 2018 defensively is, what does number 90 do?
Fred Davis tells us in 3 weeks people are going to be really fired up about football. I know that it's year round in Houston.
Well, I mean, but here, think about it this way, right? I mean, come on, you know this. I mean, here we are. It's the doldrums of the season. Okay, I mean, listen, we all love baseball, but you know, we're not getting excited about. I mean, there's nothing to talk about basketball right now until Kawhi Leonard gets traded. I mean, right now the fun in the Rockets is. I mean, think about it this way. You've got a 65-win team in the Rockets, and people are kind of like shrugging their shoulders about what's coming up this season. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, you've got a 65-win team, and in this city, people have shrugged their shoulders as to whether or not they should get excited about the Rockets in 2018.
Why?
Well, number 13. I mean, here, think about it this way. Are you convinced that James Harden's ready to take the next step?
Yes, they were there, if not for Chris Paul's injury.
Well, but look at it this way. Chris Paul's injury. What's the knock on Chris Paul? great player, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question. But the knock on him came to fruition once again. Because as great as he was, you weren't there in Game 6 when we needed you, and you weren't there in Game 7, and we're still waiting on James Harden to have that Herculean performance that we still haven't seen yet.
So the
and that's the problem.
The moral of the story is Houston athletes, except for the Astros right now, have injury concerns. Is that what you're telling me?
It's injury concerns, and it's a where's the PTPers at? That's what we want to know. Like, James Harden is a phenomenal basketball player, but is he ready to go all LeBron on somebody and hell, even LeBron? I mean, is he ready? Can he put a team on his back? That's the question.
We're not going to know for another nine months. But that's a lot to look forward to in Houston sports over the next 9 months. You can follow Fred on Twitter at the Freddie D, part of In
that's
the
it.
Loop. Yeah. Part of In the Loop from 10 to 2 midday Central Time on our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. Good to have you on the show for the first time. Thanks so much.
Amy, thank you so much. God bless all the people working overnight.
Exactly what I'm saying. Thank you, Freddie. Freddie doing his midday show, but does not need sleep, as you can tell by the energy that he has. Good to have him for the first time. It's his second go-around with Sports Radio 610, and he's enjoying it. He landed right in the middle of a firestorm in Houston sports. Again, the first ever World Series in Houston Astros franchise history, and they followed it up with one of the best first halves in their history. And then in addition to that, the Rockets have that major disappointment from their Game 7 and how god-awful they shot from downtown, but at least they weren't alone because the Celtics did it the night before. It was before the Celtics' demise, and the Cavaliers advancing. And then, of course, the Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney storylines that he talked about, and I'm looking forward to seeing... Oh, heavens. I'm just looking forward to football, but it's going to be neat to see Watson back on the football field because he was an MVP candidate when he got knocked out. He and Carson Wentz were tied for the league lead in touchdowns when he tore his ACL. Ended up that both of them did, right? So let's see. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm going to retweet our Man Crush Monday poll right about now once I'm done talking. And coming up, I'll tell you... how my family hurt my feelings this weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It was a weekend of catching up with family around the country for reasons that were unexpected, but it was nice. Until I realized that some of them have no idea where I live and work. Now, I mean it when I tell you my family couldn't care less what I do for a living, and I appreciate that. My nieces have zero interest in the fact that a lot of people follow me on Twitter or that I have a national radio show. Over Christmas, my older niece was being a bit of a snot fest. She was all kinds of haughty, and I said something along the lines of, I'm the most famous person you know, and she's like... Whatever, Auntie Amy, I know. 20-year-olds, teenagers have a way of reminding you that you aren't all that. Anyway, I'm glad that my family does not care what I do for a living because I want them to treat me like Amy, not Amy Lawrence. And I mean, it's hard for some people to understand that I don't talk about sports 24/7, that there are times when I want to completely get away from this public job that I do. And so... my family offers that opportunity. And my best friend, who I've known since I was 13, I mean, she, again, couldn't care less if I walk dogs for a living. I mean, she doesn't care. She knows everything about me and loves me anyway, just like my family does. However, I discovered that my family doesn't actually care what I do for a living and may not even know. Parts of my family. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can vote for Man Crush Monday on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then some of you are weighing in on our Facebook page as well. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I just saw a post that I periodically through our breaks, we'll go through our posts on Facebook to try to weed out some of the stuff that I don't want on there. And this guy, I just realized over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday, posted about how he was on hold for 2 hours. I'm pretty sure it's the guy who was on hold for 2 hours. And then we went to talk to him and his radio was turned up so loud that we couldn't, all I could hear was me and I couldn't hear him. I mean, it's really not that difficult, peeps. Turn the radio down because we're on a 30-second delay, or you're on a 30-second delay. We're in real time. Anyway, I'm sorry if you wait on hold and don't know what happens when someone picks up the phone. It's just a regular phone conversation. All right, so...
May I ask you...
No. You make me sound so mean, Isaac. He just cuts up these little snippets. So on Saturday morning... My dad and my aunt and my two uncles were doing group emails. And this is these are my grandmother who lives in Wisconsin, my 96-year-old grandmother, who I also spoke to on Sunday. These are her kids. So my dad's side of the family. One of my uncles lives in Wisconsin near my grandma. The other uncle and my aunt, who I went on a cruise with to Alaska a decade ago, live in Northern California wine country. My aunt lives in Tucson, and then my dad is in the DC area. So they're spread out literally all over the country, the four of them. So they group email, and I'm involved in the group emails. And the emails start flying around about what they're doing for the summer and the fall and the vacations they're taking and the trips. They like to travel. They're not all completely retired, but a couple of them are semi-retired at least, so they take a bunch of vacations. So as I'm reading through these emails, and I haven't written anything to this point, my aunt and my uncle are both coming to New York City, which is where CBS Sports Radio headquarters is located. I live just outside the city in New Jersey. They're both coming to New York City in the fall, and neither one of them mentioned it to me. I can't imagine going to Tucson and not letting my Auntie Karen know that I'm going to be in Tucson, or not remembering that she lives in Tucson. And then my uncle, who I haven't seen since my Grammy's 90th birthday party, which was 6 years ago in Wisconsin. And again, he's married to an aunt and they went on a cruise. We went on a cruise together to Alaska in 2008. I'm stunned that they had no idea that I lived in New York City. That I work in New York City and I live here in the area. So I write back, "You're coming to New York City? ?" And of course, at that point, both my aunt and my uncle respond with, "Oh my gosh, yes, we'd love to see you." I'm like, "Yeah, you would. You'd love to see me so much that you've been ignoring all of our communications for the last 5 years. I mean, am I the only one who thinks that's weird?
The phony express right there.
Thank you. I understand that they may not know exactly what town I live in, but it's probably possible they have no idea that I'm even here as opposed to my previous network.
You appear to have this major New York bias.
Well, that's the opposite of my family, apparently. So they're coming for vacation. My aunt is only going to be here for about 12 hours because she's flying in from Arizona and then getting on a boat. She's going on a cruise to New England and Canada. But she writes back very casually, "Oh, yes, we'll be flying into Newark on this evening. I'll be taking the boat the next day. Would you like to have breakfast?" And I was like, oh, should I make them sweat it out a little bit? And then my aunt and uncle in California FaceTime me. Well, I have a Galaxy, but they call me on a video and they're like, "We can't wait to see you." And I'm like, yeah, right. How long have you had these plane tickets? So I was feeling a bit injured. I mean, again, I'm glad my family loves me and doesn't care what I do for a living, but it would have been nice if they at least knew what city in the country in which I lived. So I call my grandmother, and this is really not fair. I ambushed my 96-year-old grandmother. I was feeling a little bit spicy. I'm like, "Grammy, did you know that Karen and Kenny are both coming to New York City this fall?" She's like, "Yes." I was like, "Oh, Grammy, did you tell them that I live here?" She kind of stutters a little bit, and I was like, and then she starts talking about how, yes, like Karen's going on a cruise. So she's completely like went right past it. And Kenny and Jane are going to be visiting New York City and seeing all the sights. And I was like, "Grammy, do you think they forgot I live here or they just don't know? Did you tell them I live here?" There's a silence.
Uh-oh.
Yes, they're going to be traveling there in the fall. And she just picks up. My grandmother just has this knack for completely ignoring anything she doesn't want to talk about. And she begs like the fifth because she's 96 and she must not have heard me correctly.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, right. She didn't even bother. She just ignored me. Anyway, so that was a bit of a hit to my whatever ego I might have left after dealing with Twitter for the last 9 years. So, yeah, my family, my own family, my own immediate family doesn't even know where I live and work.
That is unbelievable.
I decided I wouldn't ask them if they actually knew what I did for a living, because if they didn't, then I would...
Oh, boy.
I would be really embarrassed. So I didn't ask that. I probably will get over it by September when my aunt shows up, and maybe by October. But I was very kind on the video call. Like, I can't wait till you visit. We're going to have so much fun. I'll even take a couple days off so I can play your tour guide. Yes, I faked it really well, because inside I was like, huh, how would you like it?
Did they offer to pay for your breakfast at least?
I mean, my aunt usually does pay, but still, it's been like 6 years since I've seen either one of them. I don't know. Maybe I should play this out a little longer.
They know who they run and they talk to. They know who they communicate with.
You know what else is going through my head? Des Bryant. I know that they know that we know that they know.
I know. Everybody know.
Apparently, everybody does not know, which is a little bit disconcerting.
Oh, yes.
So count your many blessings, peeps, if your family actually knows where you live and what you do for a living. Because I wouldn't take it for granted anymore. Huh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thank you for knowing what I do for a living. I do appreciate that.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
As I was... running for the first time outside in July. It's been a hot start to the month. I was listening to some Meghan Trainor. It's a good little beat to keep you going. Not to mention, her songs are funny. If you take the time to listen to the words, as a female, they're funny. And so she always gives me a little kick when I am running. It is that time of the week again. We're off and running into our work week. And I know the obvious answer to this question is the weekend is shorter, but why does it always feel like the weekend goes so much faster? It definitely does. Whenever your weekend happens to be, it always feels like it flies by in a boom instant, and the week stretches on. But I got blue toes over the weekend, not because I dropped something on my toes and bruised them. That has actually happened before, but no, this was not a weightlifting accident. This was a pedicure and blue toes. I feel like such a rebel, such a adventurous girl, because typically I go with red or hot pink. Sometimes in the fall, I will go with a maroon or a burgundy or a wine color. Right now, they're bright ocean blue. And no, there will not be a picture, because that's not necessary. Just use your imagination.
Several people probably going to ask.
Well, the answer is no. Thank you, Meghan Trainor. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad that you're tuning in. I'm trying to get as many updates as I possibly can from Thailand, where this boys' soccer team has been trapped now for 16 days. Now, you may or may not know that four of them were rescued on Sunday. And then there was a big meeting a couple hours ago among the divers and the medical personnel, the rescue teams, to try to figure out the best approach for the remaining eight soccer boys and their coach. There was this weird, and I don't even know why this was going around, but you know how the media is. You know how journalism is these days. Sometimes it's hit or miss, especially when it's on social media. But there was this weird report going around, or some speculation that the coach was one of the people removed. It's not the case. There were four boys that were removed from the cave, and the coach is still in there, the 25-year-old, along with a bunch of the other boys that got stranded when they went exploring in this cave after a practice. And there were warnings that were posted that during July, this time of the year, it's rainy season and the caves are prone to flooding, and that's exactly what happened. They got way back inside the series of caves. It's like a maze of underwater caverns. and they got stuck because the passageways flooded. And so thank the Lord, they were able to find a ledge where they could all huddle, and 12 days passed before they were finally discovered by divers who had to go through, as you can imagine, all these different passageways to figure out where they were. So they finally found them, but getting them out is an entirely different story. And I don't know if you heard the news last week, very tragic. One of the divers, this is a trained diver. He's a SEAL. This is a SEAL, for heaven's sakes. They are used to being in the water. All the training that SEALs, Navy SEALs have to go through to be qualified, and his oxygen tank ran empty. And so he died. He couldn't get out. And they're trying to get the kids who are not divers, have zero scuba experience. They're trying to get these kids out of the cave. And the problem is there are more rains that continue to come, and the floodwaters continue to surge. And so, yeah, the death of this former Thai Navy SEAL underscored the risks on Friday. Thankfully, he's been the only fatality of this rescue effort, but that's how dangerous it is. He was actually volunteering, and his mission was to place oxygen canisters along the route. They're trying to mark their way out, and they want to be sure these boys can make it. And they're not going to make it without oxygen because they're not experienced swimmers, and because many parts of this cave are still completely flooded. So here's this experienced diver, a former Navy SEAL, who couldn't get out before his oxygen expired. And after they pulled these first four kiddos out of the cave on Sunday, heavy rain started falling. So that's also complicating matters and why they have to wait. There's just a very small bit of unflooded space in the cave where the boys are sheltered. Listen to this. This is pretty crazy, but it really does demonstrate. It kind of gives you an idea of how small this space is that they found. 108 square feet. So now there are, they were 12 of them, right? And so they've got four out. So now you're talking about still, eight kids or seven kids and a coach. Here they are, all huddled together. At least they have food and water now, but all huddled together on this ledge where they have 108 square feet. That's it. Anyway, some of the videos and the pictures that have been put online, the Thai Navy SEALs have a Facebook page, and so they've released some of the videos. And what we're finding out is just that the rescue will resume on Monday afternoon, which is now Thai time, and we'll find out whether or not they're able to get any other kids out on Monday. The race against time and the race against the floodwaters and the neat thing is that they've got this buddy system. They're working together, and so they're not going through this traumatic experience alone. But just the stories that these young boys will have to tell, and the fear and everything they've lived through over the past 2 weeks. Just, it's amazing that they're all still alive, the team and the coach. And the effort that's gone into it, the manpower and the brainstorming and the physical effort that's gone into finding these little boys, because their age is 11 to 16, and then getting them out of that cave. I mean, we're talking about nothing short of a miraculous effort. So I'll give you some updates as soon as I have them. But good to know there are at least four who've been pulled out now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. A couple other stories that caught my eye this weekend, and I will admit there are times when, like many of you, I will read a headline and then kind of move on. If it's not a headline that catches my attention and I don't need to read it right away for work, then sometimes I skip over. I saw this headline on Saturday, that was, and I'm phrasing it, I may have one or two words that's not right, but I was a little taken aback by the headline, considering the bulk of the story. The actual story was not accurately depicted in the headline that said, former UCLA and Kings player dies after a shootout with police. And so in this culture that we live in, this climate that we live in, when there have been far too many shootings of black men by police officers, and they've gotten far too much, I'm sorry, not too much. They've gotten far more attention than they have in the past because of social media and the videos that go viral. And we know this is a major point of contention for law enforcement and black communities. And it's one of the reasons why we've had protests for, you know, during the national anthem in the NFL and other sports. That headline was very misleading. It was accurate, except you know what people think when they see that headline. What actually happened is that Tyler Honeycutt killed himself after barricading himself in a house and exchanging gunfire with Los Angeles police on Friday night. Tyler Honeycutt was firing shots out of the residence. Officers returned fire, but they did not hit him. And even after crisis negotiators were called and a SWAT team went in, it took some time, and Honeycutt was pronounced dead by paramedics inside the house, and it was of a self-inflicted gunshot. And this guy was only 27, so I don't know what happened. There's not a lot of details about why he was in this situation, but the headline itself was, I felt like, fairly explosive considering the climate that we're in right now in 2018 with law enforcement. So I'm glad that it's not what people expected when they would see that headline, or some of the conclusions that we might jump to as a society when we see a headline like that. But I'm sad for him and sad for his family, to be sure, that at 27 years old, this is how his story ended. We are halfway through our show. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's always good to have you. A-Law Radio on Twitter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.